everybody, and welcome to Heartbeat. Today I'm going to share with you on a prayer that we often say. We say it at least once a week when we go to Mass on Sunday, for those who are Catholics. For those who are not, you've heard this line. The prayer is, Lord, have mercy. You know, we say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I often wonder, do we say it three times because it's like a very special time when Peter, who denied Christ three times, was given at the end when Jesus came back before he went to his Father in heaven, after the resurrection, when he came and he met Peter, he gave Peter three opportunities to say, do you love me? He asked him three times because it was very special that he was telling Peter, I forgive you for denying me three times. And so this three times prayer that we say, Lord, have mercy, we are from really, if we truly pray it, what the words say, from the cries of our heart, we're asking for God to be merciful to us. And if God could forgive Peter, who denied him, and he was his friend, his confidant, Peter was the chosen leader of the group that followed Jesus. If Jesus can forgive him, Jesus can forgive us for whatever we might have done, what we're doing, or what we might do into the future. But I want to concentrate on these three words, Lord, have mercy. You know, it's a raw plea. It's not like, Lord, would you help me? Lord, you know, I'm in this situation right now. And they are great prayers. They are your conversation with God. But when you cry, Lord, have mercy, you're crying out to an attribute that God has. God has mercy for us. And it is stated time and time and time again in Scripture. We want to receive this mercy. And after we receive this mercy, God does ask us to let it flow onto our neighbor. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're receiving mercy from God, he wants you to also then extend mercy to others. You know, the Old Testament, remember, was talking about the Messiah's coming. Everything was pointing to Jesus, the Son of God, coming to save us, to bring his mercy to us. And God shares his compassion for his people, for us, in Isaiah very, very dramatically. And it's in Isaiah 42, and it states, and they're talking about Jesus. This is prophesying Jesus, telling, you know, into the future, this Messiah, this is who he is, this is what he will do. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit in him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. You're thinking, how's this mercy? Because he's talking about justice. But God's justice and mercy, in a way, go hand in hand. If we've done wrong, there is justice that needs to occur. But we can call upon God's mercy to be greater, to look at our pleas of forgiveness, of our pleas of, I've done wrong, Lord, help me. Be merciful to me. His mercy actually works with his justice. He states beautifully, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. He is showing you that a bruised reed, what's a bruised reed? A reed that I can picture is, you know, those plants that are beside the water and they've got long, thin sticks and then like a bulb on the top. Now, if it's bruised, meaning, you know, I've walked by and I've squashed the long, thick stalk, it's like that. It doesn't stay upright. It's bruised. It's, you know, battered or beaten or just damaged. We're like that. We're like bruised reeds. We've been damaged over the years by life, by our choices, our sinfulness, our wrongdoings, or just circumstances. Or, because, you know, remember, if I sin, that my sin can affect others. And so I could be bruised because of what others' choices that are in my life, in my circumstances. And God says, a bruised reed he will not break. He won't break it off. He won't destroy it. It's actually not irreparable for Christ. And a smouldering wick, meaning the wick, in the wick of a candle, it's smouldering. It's about to go out because there's not enough air or oxygen or life or wax. He will not snuff it out. He will not extinguish it. Because what's happened because of Easter, because of the resurrection, we have been given mercy. We have been given the resurrection, resurrecting power of Jesus Christ when we become followers of him. When we say, yes, I will follow you, Lord. You are my Lord and Savior. He will reignite us. He desires mercy, not sacrifice. You know, when you're wounded and frail and feeble, and we are, to God, we're not dispensable. We are precious in his eyes. This prophecy of Christ's tender, compassionate care for the weak and downtrodden is spoken here. And when Jesus comes and he starts his ministry, what does he show us? He goes and sits with the poor, with the sinners, with the destitute, with the downtrodden, because he's telling us, I have brought my mercy for all, and especially those who are bruised and beaten and feel like their wick is going out, that hope is gone. I am bringing you hope. I am the hope. Jesus cares for that bruised reed. He offers comfort and hope in the name of Christ, in God's mercy. Now, this quote that I'm going to share with you, I have to read it a few times because I'm just like, wow. For us habitual offenders, so for us sinners who habitually, often, all the time, do wrong, make wrong choices, you know, want to go our way, don't want to do God's thing, because we just do. We're frail and feeble and we just look at ourselves so often. We are very selfish people. For us habitual offenders, God's infamously bad reputation as a kind, merciful, just judge is truly good news. For us habitual offenders, God's infamously, meaning he's famous for this, that he has a bad, good reputation of being a kind, merciful, and just judge is truly good news for us. You know, the Bible is often called the good news because it is good news. We don't have to be broken and bruised no longer. We don't have to be downtrodden. We don't have to feel like there is no hope, that life is gone. No, Christ, God's only Son being sent by the Father to die and rise for us, has given us this hope, this life, this mercy. So when we cry out for his mercy, know that he hears that cry. You use those words and his ears are attuned to us. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. God's mercy is seen again and again and again in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the lives of us today. You know, in Exodus 33:19, God's talking to Moses, and Moses is a bit down because the people of Israel, you know, are good for God and then they're not good for God, and they choose right and then they choose wrong. And Moses is very frustrated and he says, Lord, you know, I need you to be with me. If I'm going to walk the rest of the journey to the promised land, you have to be with me. And God talks to him and said, and Moses then becomes bold and he says, well, can I see your face? Can I just see you? And God in his graciousness says, okay, but you can't see my face. If you see my face, you will not live. But I'll put you in a cleft of a rock and I'll put my hand over you and I will pass by and you will see my back. And God says in Exodus 33:19, I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. So in the presence of Moses, God will proclaim his name, the Lord. If you actually look up that scripture is in big italics. It's like as if it's been shouted from the Bible. And it's the same as when God in the burning bush came to Moses and said, I am. I am. He's the great I am. He's declaring who he is. Well, when we cry out to God's mercy declares who he is. It's in his name. You can't like separate it. It's part of him. It's part of God's nature to be merciful to us. It's how he loves. It's why he loved, why he sought after us. He loves us. He's merciful and he chases us with love. God announced to Moses, I have found favor in your sight. Oh my goodness, wouldn't you love God to say to you, I find favor with you. I pray every day for God's favor. Lord, would you favor me here? I'm going to do, you know, a job interview. Would you favor me, Lord, if it's your will? If you desire me to have this job, put the words in my mouth. Help me, Lord. I want to find favor with you, Lord. You know, it's a statement of his eternal nature, this mercy. God always was and always will be this. Moses knows this. He knows this attribute of the Lord. He met him in the burning bush and now he's meeting him again. And he's bolder because his relationship with God has grown. Before, remember, in the burning bush, and you know, he took off his sandals because God told him, this is a holy ground. Well, it was like, you know, he was humbly coming before the Lord. He hasn't changed in being humble, but he's bolder. Lord, would you show me your face? Wow, what a relationship. They've grown. They've become closer together, more mature together. Well, man has. God's always been the same. Moses wanted confirmation, though, that God would journey with him. And so he asked him, would you come and be with me? And what did God then proclaim? And it's absolutely beautiful. Let me read it to you. So as he passes by Moses, it's in Exodus 34, verse 6. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord. And again, these are in capital letters, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Wow. In another translation, it says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. To know God's name, to know the Lord, is to know His mercy. He is slow to anger. He is full of compassion for us. So when you are really in need, cry out those three words, Lord, have mercy, and He will be there to aid you. He will come and not bruise you any further. He will restore you. He will bring you His resurrecting power, and He will bring and show you the hope that He is for you and for the world. I pray this encourages you. Cry out to your God, Lord, have mercy. Thanks for listening.